and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go ahead and turn to a couple of texts. Romans chapter 1, if you would, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at several scriptures this morning. I want to use those two texts, 1 Corinthians 15, Romans 1, more than the others. As we began a series this morning on the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, these next few days and few weeks, we have the wonderful opportunity as followers of God, as children of God, those who have come to taste of the grace of God, who know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, we have the wonderful privilege to share the greatest message that the world can and has ever heard, and that is that Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's not dead, as some people speculate or say, but He is alive. And we get to live that story, hopefully, every day of our lives, showing that truth that Jesus is alive. But during this time of the year, many will see, and because we're living in perhaps one of the most biblically uneducated times in the history of mankind, where ignorance, biblical ignorance, seems to prevail, very few people, many of the people that you work with, listen to me, have no idea what resurrection's about. They have no idea what Easter really is about. They see little things on TV and they hear things, but they really don't understand what all of this is about. And yet you and I have this wonderful time of the year where we get the privilege of being able to be the messenger for the Lord to share with them the good news that Jesus is alive. I want to read 1 Corinthians. I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 15. Here the writer says this. He says, "Moreover, brethren," verse 1, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." And then he shares the gospel, the heart of the gospel. Folks, people often ask us, what really is the gospel? Here is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the message, the truth of the gospel. It contains the fullness of the gospel. Nothing is left out. Sometimes when people share the gospel, they share part of the gospel. No, the gospel needs to be shared in its fullness. What is the gospel? Here the writer tells us, verse 3, "For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." We're going to come back to this in a moment. I want to stop there, but I can't. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And He was buried. Yes, He was buried. And then He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and then He was seen. And He goes into this long list of those who saw the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this morning, we are blessed, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand the fullness of the gospel. And yet many people today are still trying to understand, what does this thing mean to be a follower of Jesus or to be a Christian or to know God? What are we talking about? Easter is an important time. As a matter of fact, Easter is the central, pivotal part of the gospel. When I say Easter, the resurrection in regards to our Christian faith. Without resurrection, we have nothing. If you read the rest of 1 Corinthians 15, you'll get that whole story. We don't have time for that this morning now. Let me say to you something, okay? I don't know where I'm going to wind up this morning. I haven't been in the pulpit in a month. That may mean very little to you. It means a lot to me. For a whole month, I've been trying to prepare for Easter. I've got all kinds of notes, a few on a piece of paper. But I got so much stuff crammed in my little mind that I hope you will never grow tired of hearing. Now, here's my fear this morning. When we start talking about events like Christmas, the birth of Jesus, Passion Week and Easter. Most of us in the church want to go to sleep on those stories. Hello, are you with me? We find it sort of boring and we know that story. Listen, if that's how you feel about resurrection, you've missed the whole mark of the gospel. There ought to be a fire burning in your soul right now when you hear the word resurrection because of what Christ has done for us. And so I hope this morning that you won't listen half asleep or unattentive, but you will allow the Word of God, the Bible, to breathe life into you again this morning of the freshness of what Christ has done in your life. We sang that song, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Some of us need to go back to the cross. We need to get back to that place where we saw ourselves and realize what Christ has done and let it breathe fresh life into us. Do you ever feel stale in your faith? Anybody willing to confess this morning? So much of my life and my walk with the Lord gets stale, and it's as if these things don't spark a flame. This morning, my prayer is that these scriptures will cause you again to see the goodness of God and the grace of God in what He did for us by sending His Son. You see, Christ was born. The scripture is very clear. Christ was born. He was born of a virgin. We read that story, share that story all the time. I want to rehearse just briefly the story of Jesus Christ with you, because there's some people here this morning that don't really understand that. He was born of a virgin, spent his young life there with Mary and Joseph. We know that he grew in stature in favor of the Lord, the Bible says. As a matter of fact, on one occasion, after being lost from his parents, they find him teaching in the temple. In amazement, the Old Testament teachers, or the teachers of the Old Testament, was listening to this boy teach. He, the Bible says, had the favor of God upon him. But then there was those years we call silent years where Jesus disappeared from the scene. But then something happened at about the age of 30, according to Luke's gospel. About the age of 30, this young man, whose name was Jesus, who was sent from God, the Bible says, to bring salvation to all people, Jew and Gentile, began a ministry, and he did amazing things. That's why when we present the program, you're going to see a reenactment of some of the things that Jesus did. He came on the scene, and he would heal those that were sick. People would bring their loved ones to him. He would not even have to be in their presence often for them to be healed of whatever the malady or disease that they were. He could speak the word, and they would be healed. There were those who had died that Jesus would raise back to life. Amazing stuff this young man was able to do. And he was teaching and preaching and calling people to follow him. And in the midst of all this, the miracles that he was doing, many people wondered. The religious leaders were stirred. They couldn't understand this because this man named Jesus was saying something that they could not believe. And this is what he was saying. I've not just come to do miracles. I've not just come to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to give the lame men the ability to walk again, or the deaf the ability to hear again. I've not come just to open the physical eyes of those that are blind. I have come because I am God. I've been sent from God the Father. The Father and I are one, and He proclaimed to be the Son of God. That claim of being the Son of God is what caused him to go through what we know of crucifixion. He had claimed to be the very Son of God, to bring salvation to the world, to all who would believe. And so at about 2.5 years later, something depending on what you believe in the timetable of his ministry, somewhere around the age of 33, they took this man Jesus, they nailed him on a cross, because he claimed to be the Messiah. They nailed him on a cross. The writer of Corinthians says this, tells us four truths about that. Don't let these ever become old to you. It says that Jesus died for our sins. I want to stress something to you. He didn't say Jesus died for the sins of a particular person. Jesus died for our sins. Our sins. You and I today, because of who Jesus is, need to realize the glorious good news that Christ died for our sins, not just me, not just the American, not just for the Jew, but for our sins, the sins of the world. He died. We know he died. The Romans made sure that Jesus was dead. Now, as you go through Easter, there are going to be some people that are going to tell you, well, you surely don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that Jesus really died, like the writer of Corinthians says. And people for years have all kinds of theories. I pulled this little note because I wanted to get this right. I've heard this before, and I'm sure it's happened more than once. Especially in the age in which we live, where everybody can go to a computer and they can connect with each other. They don't know how to talk to each other, but they'd like to get on the computer. You know what I'm talking about? That day when nobody wants to talk face to face, but they want you to, you know, they want to communicate. And this lady was listening to a Christian radio show. They were talking about the death of Jesus, resurrection, first the crucifixion. And she called in because there was someone, a friend, that told her, well, you surely don't believe that because Jesus really didn't die. The fact is, there are many people today who still believe in that old theory called the swoon theory. If you don't know what that is, they just think that Jesus swooned for a little bit. He was weakened for a little bit, but his disciples nursed him back to health, and he really didn't die. That seems so strange to me, but do you know there are multitudes of people that would believe that? But the scripture says Jesus really died. So this lady, get this, she called into this talk show, radio Christian talk show, and here's what her question was. She said, "Dear sirs, my friend said that at Easter that Jesus just swooned on the cross and that the disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think?" Sincerely, bewildered. That Christian author, teacher, whoever he was, thought about it for a moment, and he said this to her, "Dear bewildered, beat your friend with a cat of nine tails with 39 heavy strokes. Nail your friend to a cross. Then hang your friend in the sun for 6 hours. Run a spear through his side. Take him off that cross. Put him in an airless tomb. Tell me how it turns out." Folks, listen. The truth is this. Christ died for your sins and for mine. He breathed his last breath. That's why Matthew says, he cried with a loud voice, and he yielded up the spirit. Our Savior literally died. But it didn't stop there. It says not only did he die, they buried him. They took his body off of that tomb, much like we will reenact on Friday, Sunday. And they put him in a tomb which no man had ever laid. Some of us had the privilege. We were over there just a few days ago. It's a marvelous thing. Let me just encourage you, if you ever get the opportunity to go to Jerusalem, to go to the Middle East, seize it. It will open your eyes to so much of the scripture that you'll never be able to see here. You say, "I look on the computer." Listen, you can't get it that way. You can get some of it. But we stood in one of the sites that perhaps could be the tomb where they buried our Lord. They buried him. They rolled a stone over the mouth of that tomb, and he lay there. He lay there. They buried him in that tomb. The guy who was doing the tour that day said, "You know, we don't know for sure. We think this might be the place. There is at least one other location that they think might be the place." But I so appreciated him because he said, "The place is insignificant. It's the fact that they put him in the tomb and the tomb is empty today. That's what's significant." You see, Jesus died for our sins and they buried him. But here it gets better. On the third day, it says, but he arose. He arose on the third day. The Bible says Christ came out of the tomb. There are all kinds of things we will say next week and the following week about that event of resurrection. But Christ arose from the grave. Now listen, he didn't just arise so that you could see that he was alive. Here's what he really arose. He arose so that you could see that death was defeated. That ought to excite you. Listen, death not is going to be defeated. Death has been defeated. You say, "Well, why do people keep dying?" I didn't say physical death. Spiritual death has been defeated. Spiritual death has been defeated. We put these earthly bodies down. But folks, listen to me. Death will not just be. No, death has been defeated. And I could stop here this morning if you wanted me to, or if I chose to. Maybe that's what I ought to say. Here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus said that he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He said those that believe in him, They are given eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, listen to this, the gift of God, what's the very next word? Anybody knows the Bible? Is eternal life. Not will be, not was. Are you with me yet? Jesus said, when you believe in me, you begin to live and you will never die. That's why he said to Mary and Martha, listen, though a man die, if he believes in me, I'm the resurrection and the life. Though he die, yet shall he live again. When Jesus came out of the tomb, he came so not that we could see that he was alive. He came so that we could see that death was defeated. He had become victorious over death. They buried him. They put him in a tomb. On the third day, he arose. And then for those skeptics, it says he was seen. The last Sunday of this series on Easter Sunday, we're going to look at some of the resurrection proofs. People say, well, I just can't believe that Jesus came out of the tomb. Listen, you don't even have to be a rocket scientist to believe that Jesus came out of the tomb. There's more proof for that than any of the other events of history that you could ever, they're everywhere. There's proofs everywhere. Even those who did not believe have written that there was proof that Jesus came out of the tomb. So the scripture tells us these four things about the life of Christ. Yes, he died for our sins, he was buried, he rose again, and he was seen. Now you say, well, Pastor, but what does that mean to me? Does it have any significance in my life today? Yes, it does. I want to share just a couple of things about that, why this is significant. Because you see, two things. First of all, I want you to know when we speak of these four spiritual facts, these truths, here's the thing that many missed, and many are missing today. It was predicted, but unexpected. It was predicted. This was not a surprise to the religious people of Jesus' day. They knew the predictions. They knew. That's what troubled them so. He says he's come from God. It was predicted that if he was from God, that he was going to be more than they could ever expect in life, and they struggled with that. So they knew a Messiah was coming. And his predictions of what he would go through. Matt, you read some of Isaiah. It was predicted, but it was unexpected. There are some people today who heard about Jesus, but they don't expect that that could ever change their life. It can. It can change your life. I thought about this, and I began to research the predictions. Did you know in the Old Testament, there are over 100 prophecies about the crucifixion and the resurrection? Many are directly related to that, but others who spring forth, over 100 prophecies that were fulfilled because Jesus came back to life. He conquered death. You say, well, what does that mean? It means a lot. It means that hundreds of years before an event ever took place, it was told that it was going to take place. It was told the details of how it was going to take place, even to the degree from his being betrayed, his then, all of those things were foretold. It's hard to imagine that. If I were to tell you today something that was going to happen here in about an hour, I'd be really struggling just to make sure that that happened. But at least 700 years prior to that, some of the prophets said this is what's going to happen. Predicted, but unexpected. But it's one thing for the prophets to say that. Jesus himself was the one that proclaimed it more than anyone else. If you read the Gospels, Jesus said on numerous occasions, destroy this temple, I'll build it back up. Don't you know that made the religious people so mad? They wanted just to, you know what they wanted to do. You've read the scriptures. They wanted to do a whole lot more than they could at the time. They had seen his miracles. They knew everything else, and that troubled them. But what troubled them most was when he said, destroy this body. Destroy this temple. In 3 days, God will raise it up again. Predicted, but unexpected. Let me turn the tables a little bit. Every time the Word of God goes forth, if you're a preacher or teacher of the Word of God, you need to know this. The Word of God never goes forth and it never returns void. Never. Never. There's somebody perhaps listening to me this morning, right here. You may be in this building. If not, there are going to be people who are going to hear this through the internet. They're going to listen to it on one of our programs, radio or TV. And they're not ready for what could happen. They've heard and they don't think it can happen. But something very unexpected can happen if they will allow it, as the Spirit of God works. God can change their world forever. And that's the good news of the gospel. You know, there are some people in our lives, and you won't admit this, but there are some people in our lives that we just don't think God could ever reach. They've just gone too far. You don't believe the gospel then. You need to expect it to happen. Even Christ said that he had come to seek and to save those that are lost. But there's a second relevant truth that I want to get through this morning, and then I'm going to try to wrap up our thoughts together. Not only was it predicted, but unexpected. This one hurts. It makes people angry. It shouldn't, but it does. As you look at all of these truths that the Scripture teaches, and I just tried to pull them all together in a summary in those four out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Jesus did every bit of this to declare the truth that he was truly the Messiah, the Savior. That's why Romans 1 says that the very reason and the way God has validated his Son, listen, when God wanted to validate his Son, if you read Romans 1 verse 4, he validated his Son by saying this, he was validated not by his miracles, not by his healings, not by the words that he just spoke, but by the resurrection from the dead. When Jesus came out of the tomb, he gave validity to the fact that he was and is the Son of God. You say, what does that mean to me? It means a lot. Truth is truth. And I like the way whoever put these notes together wrote this. All or any of these truths that we've shared this morning can be denied. There are people going to hear it today and say, I don't believe it. They can be denied. But here's the fact. None of them can be changed. Oh, you can deny them. There are those for years that have denied it. They declared it not true, but they can't change the truth. Jesus Christ is the living Son of God. Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ. The Scripture says because he came out of the grave, because God validated him as being the Savior of the world. And listen, if he's not your Savior and you're believing in some other Savior, you are lost and doomed and on your way to a devil's hell. It's that simple. You say, Pastor, you can't say that in today's modern world. People turn you off. Listen, they're not turning me off. They're turning off the message of the gospel. If you have any other Savior other than Jesus, you're believing in a dead Savior. And a dead Savior can't offer any life. There's only one that's defeated death. That is Jesus himself. And because of him, you can't change the truth. Jesus Christ is the living Son of God. Point and blank. He's the living Son of God. Point blank, the living Son of God. But he doesn't stop there. He's the Son of God to offer hope and help to us. We cannot change the truth. We can deny the truth, but we cannot change the truth. And I love the Scriptures that I want to close with this morning. Because of resurrection, because Jesus came out of the tomb, conquered death. He conquered death. He didn't stay here after conquering death. He could have stayed and lived among us. That wasn't his point, was to be alive. His point was to conquer death, and he conquered death. Because he conquered death, because of resurrection, here's what God the Father says. Acts 2:36, God now, because of resurrection, hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. That is the truth. That is the facts. Philippians 2:9-11. Wherefore, love these verses. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Jesus, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You may deny the truth today. There are those who will listen to this message that may deny the truth, but they can't change the truth. Jesus is both Lord and Christ. He is the living Son of God who came to bring life. And those who believe in him are given eternal life. Listen, I will never die. I'm alive. I already have eternal life. You say, well, one day I'm going to have eternal life. No, if you believe in Jesus, you already have eternal life. That's why those who believe that never fear death. Did you know that? You say, I'm afraid to die. You shouldn't, because you're not going to die. Anybody with me? You shouldn't. You're not going to die. You said, well, I'm going to die physically. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? What awaits us? Think about it. You say it's going to be painful. Oh, it was painful for Jesus. And we may die a painful death physically, but we will not die. I cannot be killed. Think about that. That's why those who preach the gospel without fear. People say, well, we'll kill you. Well, just have at it. Do me a favor. Let my life, eternal life, be expended. I don't say that because I want to taste physical death, but I believe the truth of the Scriptures. When I placed my faith in Jesus as the Holy Spirit of God revealed truth to me and drew me to Him, and I confessed Him as Lord and Savior, He gave me eternal life. And here's the good news. No man can ever take that away. No man. I can't even wish it away. No man can ever take that away. So you can deny the truth, but you can't change the truth. And one day, you may today deny that and say, I'll never confess that. I'll never acknowledge that. Or one day you will. Because one day He will return. And one day there will be a judgment. And one day every knee not should bow, but every knee will bow. And I believe they'll want to bow at that point and plead and beg. And He'll have to say, but depart from me. I never knew you. And the good news of Easter is this. Resurrection is this. Today is the day of salvation. That's why Jesus came. Now is the accepted time. Don't you want life? If you haven't received life, wouldn't you love to know that you have been given eternal life?
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.